of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Katyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Sampadaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, Gaudiya Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness, that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With his recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 brave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born in karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi, tatyampi, salam. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here together in suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So I'm going first.
Going first.
I've been crying a lot in groups at retreat. Out of despair and suffering. And now I'm crying with joy.
Crying with joy.
Yeah. The body is sort of a constant is crying.
Constant is crying in and out, crying in joy.
It's just so much that I think of what I really want to talk about is the thing that I'm being told not to talk about because what if it's not so? What if it proves not to be true? But for a long time, I've been trembling.
You've been trembling?
Trembling, physically trembling. Unable to write without real difficulty. Unable to work with the mouse without having to hold my hand with the other hand. And that stopped the other day.
So there's been this period of physical trembling where it's been hard to control the movement of your hands, like to hold the mouse, and it stopped the other day.
Yes. And it's, it happened about the same time that the grace descended and the fog of, I guess, self-hate really began to lift.
Wow. So about the time that their self-hate began to lift, you called it as a period of grace, you noticed that simultaneously this physical condition also stopped.
Yeah. I'm not going to create and cling to any beliefs around that. But it's just, I'm just astounded.
It's astounding, yeah. Just noticing that it happened without holding on to any beliefs around it. Not knowing, but just this, you know, feeling of being astounded to see that happen simultaneously.
Yeah. And so also a different thing. All my life, and it's probably true of a lot of people, I have conversations in my head with other people who aren't there about all kinds of things. It's very often explaining something to them that they don't understand, or justifying something that I did or did not do. And almost always, when the awareness comes that I'm doing that, there's judgment.
Mm.
You know, there's a whole karmic stream of that happens just like that, that it's believed just like that. That's not, you shouldn't do that, you should be present. It's a beautiful day. Why are you here? Why are you doing that? You know you've done that all your life, blah, blah, blah.
So there's, there's that conversation telling you that, you know, an imaginary conversation with someone that's not even there, and then when it gets noticed that it's an imaginary conversation and there's no one there, then obedience ensues for having
right.
it being, you know.
Right. And at this point, after all these years, it's that little subtle understanding that you should. You shouldn't do that. You know, I remember it used to be a voice saying all of that. Now it's just that subtle understanding that that's not what you how you should be. If it talked anymore, it would be clearer. It doesn't exactly talk anymore. So
you say that reminds me of like. And the raising of the eyebrows, or the, you know.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
So this morning, walking up the road, beautiful day, recording. No, it wasn't recording yet, but there was a conversation going on. I saw it, and there was no. It was clean, it was pure, it was a simple return to the back in the body, right back to the day.
Wow. So there was just this morning there was a noticing of that conversation, and then there was just a clean, pure, simple return to the day without what that you shouldn't be doing that. The beating that had been traditionally hooked up with that noticing.
And again, unstandard.
So there are tears of joy this morning.
And so the teaching, when you're going through hell, keep going. So, and the words of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, rejoice, rejoice, we have no choice but to carry on.
Rejoice, rejoice, we have no choice but to carry on. Just experiencing. And it sounds like the truth behind that this morning. When you're going through hell, just keep going.
Just refuge in Sangha, refuge in body, refuge in Dharma. It's gonna seem like it's just gonna seem really dark.
Yeah. Continue to take that refuge in Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha, and it can seem really dark.
So I've been looking at a lot, also feeling a lot of gratitude. And there was a piece of that last conversation that's just floating right out here. I can't quite, it'll drop in, I'm sure. But one of the things I've been looking at is control. And a while back, I was rereading the revised version of the fear book, and I was saying, my God, everything is fear. You know, everything is fear. And I'm having, right now I'm having an experience, my God, everything is control. And it's just so, I think it was last Sunday we were having a conversation about how just that process of we practice and then things just go deeper and deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. And it just has that feeling like fear comes around and it's like, wow, seeing the fear everywhere. And then mm-hmm. control comes around, wow, mm-hmm. seeing the control everywhere. And somehow it's just miraculous, that process of how we're sort of worked on. We're transformed.
How we're sort of worked on and transformed. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, similarity to that previous conversation, you know, we're just worked on and transformed. And, mm-hmm. and right now, that transformation that's happening with the concept of control, you know, having the awareness brought to the subject of control and then seeing, you know, just going deeper and deeper with it.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know, it just feels like, you know, there's some new insight, and then it's like, wow, all this other stuff that I've seen before run through that insight. Is, I don't know, it just keeps opening and opening and opening.
It's so good. It's like there's insights, and you might think they go away or they haven't made an effect, but then, you know, you'll come to another place and see it and realize, oh, I'm seeing it through a whole new lens.
I think one of the pieces of that last conversation that was resonating was that I'm not going to create and cling to beliefs, you know, around it. But one of the places, well, a few places, I was looking the other day, I can't even remember the situation, but sort of, you know, just one of those places where like, comes up in the body, you know, or, well, comes up in the mind, but there's a sensation in the body, and there's sort of a, you know, a place of what it feels like. I think from the conditioned perspective, it's okay, there's sort of two choices here: be polite or be selfish. Uh-huh. Those are the two, like, do I take my turn or do I let you take your turn? Sort of those two things. And I just by grace got to that place of curiosity with it. You know, like, what? And I just saw so much control in it. Because it felt like all that really matters, you know, this is all from the conditioned perspective, is that I get to choose. So I either get to choose that it's my turn, or I get to choose to let you have the turn. Mm-hmm. But that's the critical piece. Uh-huh. As long as I get to choose, that somehow is okay, right? Because mm-hmm. it's about me and I get to choose. Mm-hmm. But if you take the choice away from me, basically, mm-hmm. in either way, you just go, you just take your turn, you know, then that's not okay. I don't like that. But if I chose to give you, let you have it, or go first, then that's good. So that's just an example of another place I'm seeing it is with food. And what's interesting, the insight I had around it with food was realizing the control is ultimately me being controlled by the voice. Because I, in that case of, you know, I either get to choose to let you go first or I get to go first, it has nothing to do with the thing. It has to do with the unpleasant reaction that happens inside of me that's an ego reaction. I don't know if that makes sense.
When there's this opportunity, life presents an opportunity, and you know, it comes up as conditioned reaction, and it's, you know, do I let them go first, or I just, you know, do I go first, and it's all about me.
It's all about me.
And just seeing the control in that.
And that really, if the choice is taken away from me, like one day, I don't know, a while back, it was so strong, And I think partly because I was so watching it, mm-hmm. instead of just attempting to not just act out of it, but watch it, I was actually shaking. There, it was so, like, that is so wrong, you know, that kind of, and I think because I wasn't just going with it,
yes,
right,
yes.
that instead I was looking at it, and so it was kind of going crazy, kind of like, this is going to be really, really bad if she stops and really looks at this.
So interesting. I mean, there is a manifestation of in the body,
yes.
of that physical sensation of shaking,
yes.
which is just, you know, who knows, but yeah. you know, when I'm looking at the possibility, it's just that conditioned system.
Exactly.
Going nuts yeah. because it's not getting to act out.
Exactly.
Again, it seems like there's also some parallels.
Oh, my God.
It's just... Yeah.
Exactly. So much.
Yeah.
And so getting it in that that it's like that. I don't want to face that. Basically, mm-hmm. I don't want to face that. Really, what seems to be, at least on the surface, an uncomfortable thing come up. So I want to stay in control. That's what it feels like. I want to stay in control so that, you know, I can kind of stay in that me and comfortable and in that zone where I want to be and all those things. And so, you know, it would really be a lot easier if all of you would act the way you need to act and not do things that would trigger that, where I now have to decide if I'm going to be selfish or let you go first, right? Because I don't want to have to. Right, go up against that.
If I have to go up against that, you put me in that place, and now I have to decide.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's where I started. It's just fascinating to realize, wow, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's that I'm being controlled by that system, because that system is what's having the reaction,
wow.
not me.
Yeah. Isn't that so? I mean, it just is such a... Well, sleight of hand trick, but an evil one that has the attention focused on this is all about me and I need to decide what to do in this situation, and the whole time it is running the show.
It is running the show.
And we find that out when we stop and then just sit still with it.
And it's such a commercial for me for why a huge part of practice is learning to sit still with the sensations.
Yeah.
Right? All right. You know, like, I'm shaking. I remember, remember Rhea. We had Rhea, the dog, here for years and years and years. And when I wasn't here when she first moved to the property, but apparently she was a big cat chaser. And in order for her to not be on a leash all the time, she had to learn not to chase cats. And I remember the monk who was training her describing how this was way down the road where she had a lot of training and she was much, much better, but still had to be, you know, so she was at the point where she was right with her human, but not on the leash, and they'd get near a cat and she would just shake, you know, but like, and what I project onto that is like, wow, I know I'm not going to go do that, but it's really challenging not to do that.
Yeah.
And then it kind of feels like that place where we have to get almost comfortable in a way
yeah.
with that shaking through it, and that's all right.
Wow.
You know?
Such a great example. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, we have to get and practice affords that opportunity
exactly.
to sit still and to, you know, mm-hmm. it, like you say, you know, we do anything to be, to try and get back to that place of comfort. But it's that place and sitting still with it and just letting it, you know, do its thing.
Yes.
That there's just so much to see.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that's well put. There's so much to see. Because I've been seeing that, too, where when I just react from it, I can't really see anything about it, you know? So those situations happen, and it's like... what in the world is going on here? Why does that keep happening? Why does that thing, and I have the same reaction and that? It's like a machine that I'm being controlled by, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's the willingness to sit still through it, then I actually can begin to see some of the components of it. And almost just, that's all that's needed in a way, because in that seeing, it starts to unravel.
Yeah.
Because it's not real.
Yeah. Yes. It starts to unravel in that seeing because it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely not real. Yeah. And then, and that reacting to it and just going into the habitual, it's just continues the machinery.
Exactly. Yeah. It sort of just reinforces that move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that whole cycle, I think, again, in that first conversation, that whole cycle of like, what? Why do I keep doing this? Why do I, you know, so the machine does its thing and then blames it on me, and then, you know.
Yeah. And then it just, the gears turn and it, you just,
Just more grief for the keep it all mentally.
And this is visual, you know, Charlie Chaplin movie, but you know.
Yeah.
The gear just gets rolled into the gears.
Yeah.
And, you know,
exactly.
You know, how does that keep happening?
Yeah. I mentioned that one of the other places I've been seeing it is with food. I've been experimenting with all kinds of stuff, really. Like, you know, what if I eat less of this? And what if I eat less in general? And what if I, you know, eat it, whatever. Just those sorts of things. And what I realize is, I'm sort of seeing, there's a relief in, I feel like food has way less control over me. I feel like conditioning has way less ability to use food to control me in that process, which is, the reason that's fascinating to see is I never, ever would have said that. I wouldn't have thought that that was happening.
Yeah, yes.
But somehow it's like, in getting to make these other choices, it's that place where it feels like, no, I'm the one choosing this. I want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to eat that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to choose to eat that, or I'm going to choose not to eat that, which is going to be a decision to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
And that whole thing, I'm being controlled.
Yeah.
But in my other place of truly just like, you know, I just want to, I'm going to choose this, I'm going to choose that. It really is kind of accidentally, it's like, wow, I just realized I feel liberated from it. In a way that I never would have predicted I needed to be liberated from. Almost.
Yeah, what an important distinction, you know. It, and you know, it's pointing to the process, not the content.
Yeah.
You know, it's another area where you get to see how conditioning has used that for control.
Yes.
And you can apply the same process with that. You know, do I go first?
Exactly.
But just experimenting and sitting still with it and watching what arises with it, watching all of it.
Yeah. You know, as you reflect that, it reminds me of one more piece that I was recording some gratitude for it and realizing that that there's been this span of time where I haven't had this one kind of food, and I realized there was no decision to do that. And what I saw was, I think we've talked about this some years back, maybe in a retreat setting, but decide, you know, has that side in it, like, you know, pesticide or herbicide or what. So you're basically killing one thing, right? And you're, and it, at least for me, it can be such a decision to be perfect place. I'm going to, from now on.
I'm never going to be it.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet, in that place of where I was looking back, I know that, wow, it's been this span of time, that's interesting, I didn't even really realize that. The difference is, because it's just a moment-by-moment thing. How about now? Just the things in front of me now. And it's just a choice in the moment. It's not a decision.
Yeah.
It's such a different process, it feels like.
Such a different process in that place of the decision where something has to die.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then there's this, as you say, often like it comes from this place of going to be perfect, I'm going to, you know, but noticing that something had just dropped away.
Mm-hmm.
And there never was a decision about it, but it had become a moment by moment choice.
Yeah.
Am I going to take this now? No.
Yeah.
Am I going to take this now? No.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, and I realize as you say that what happened was it was so compelling not to do it Right, there was such a unpleasant experience in the body. And even at the time, I've been recording about how it's like, oh, gosh, that's interesting. I wonder if this is just life's really gentle way of answering my prayer of, you know, I'd love to make a change in kind of this area. And at least for me, the easiest way to make a change is I much prefer this than that. Right? I much prefer how I feel than what that tastes like. You know, and so that to me makes it so easy to tip the scales over to what I actually want to do instead of that, well, I guess it's kind of that shaking process. So maybe sometimes we have to do the shaking and sometimes life gives us the gift.
Yeah, just an answer to a prayer and being able to see that this is something, it didn't feel like, as you say that, it didn't feel like losing something, and you have watched enough to see that this actually, this not doing this thing would actually, it benefits in a way that I choose over the momentary pleasure of it.
And then what the conditioned process would want to do, as soon as that's noticed, oh, span of time, it's like, let's make the decision now. Right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is great. I think we talked about this last Sunday, too. Don't you want to do all those things that you did when you were doing really well? And it's like, no, no. We don't need to have any conversation about this. We don't need to make any decision about this. We don't have to know what's going to happen with this in the next moment. I have no idea. We're not deciding anything. It's just here and now. Right? I have no idea.
Wow. Yeah. Just not getting pulled back into that conversation about, okay, this means that.
And from now on, this is really going well. We're going to.
Right, we've got it figured out now.
Exactly.
Moment by moment.
Yeah.
We're not going there catching that, which seems so,
so good.
And big to catch that conversation and see the, you know,
the reality
to say no.
Yeah.
Moment by moment.
And it's that place where the only choice the voices have is to momentarily go with you on it.
Yeah,
that's great. I know.
Yeah.
Will.
Yeah. Just taking every opportunity to make it their own.
I've been looking again at Sherry's blog on conscious compassionate actions, and looking at the part of the teaching that says that when we feel that anger or whatever it is that arises, to realize that is caring, or that's under, you know, that's on top of the deep caring. And that we can go with the caring, or at least that's sort of how I'm reading it. And I've had so many experiences where that's been pointed out. That, you know, I'm at this level of, what are we going to do? What is going to be done, or upset, or something? And what gets pointed at is, wow, there's a lot of caring there. There's a lot of love. And this morning, and I always listen a lot on Sunday mornings, and an old email class on the chakras came through that I had read into the recorder, and it was on the fourth chakra, and it said, the definition of compassion is to suffer with. And that seemed to shine a big light on that whole process of, here's this suffering, this, what are we going to do, this problem, this upset, this, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket kind of place, and then to sink down into the compassion is the ability to suffer with. So it's not a pushing away of that top level, that top layer. It's sort of like when you're going through hell, keep going, you know, is to really be with it in a way that is open-hearted.
So when a reaction arises to a situation, you know, world situation or whatever, that you might first notice the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then to, as was pointed into the blog and other ways, that what underlies that, what might be beneath that, may be compassion or deep love.
Mm-hmm.
And to just see that the meaning that you encountered in the recording this morning on the chakras, that to suffer with
mm-hmm.
is the meaning of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And to really get that, you know, we don't have to stop at that anger that, you know, we left hanging out there, but, you know, to dive deeper and feel the compassion behind that, to feel the love.
Yes, and because there's sort of, if we're doing like a big flow chart, you know, kind of thing, it's like, we'll just use anger as sort of a catch-all. It's really any number of things, you know, of upset or sad and deep sadness or, you know, should be or what, you know, different or whatever. But, so there's that anger. And then what sort of is the default, you know, is to get away.
Yeah.
And then what the
yeah.
opportunity is to sink down and to be with. But to get away,
yeah.
just to get away.
Yeah.
And that's been at least my path of least, you know, path of choice. and I can see that let's see how to say this. Over the years, it has that choice to get away, that karmic pattern has taken me away from a lot of externals that I love,
mm-hmm.
things and people and causes. And
so it's a giving away from what's perceived to be causing
mm-hmm.
the anger, as well as getting away from trying to get away from the anger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, so we can put it in the context of the, you know, world events. It's like, okay, I'm not going to read the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pay attention because
mm-hmm.
it's just too upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was what Sherry sort of talked about in the blog. So just go away. You know, turn it off. And in my life, it's looked like any number of things of leaving. You know, leaving things or whatever. And ultimately, it is the leaving of here, leaving of center. You know, if we took it, what's played out on the macrocosm, take it into a microcosm, it's always the movement away from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that just is so. And that's why to suffer with feels like such a powerful. Definition of compassion
mm-hmm.
for me right now, because it's the willingness to stay, you know, even in the discomfort, the willingness to stay,
mm-hmm.
just to be with
mm-hmm.
whatever is there, whether, you know, whether it is feels right or wrong or uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the willingness to stay with whatever is, I mean, it seems to be a lot what we've been speaking about this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just that willingness to stay in metaphorical silence or in it,
mm-hmm.
just to be with it instead of that escaping, turning away from, which you have seen as an abandonment of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and instead choosing to suffer with.
Mm-hmm.
But another way for just staying with what's there
mm-hmm.
until you can. I mean, as you go deeper and to discover the what's underneath that, as you point to the compassion.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's dropping in is in the blog she talks about, and then see what you want to be, and you know what
mm-hmm.
you know. She said, well, "Do you want to you know?" Give your, you know, contribute to a worthwhile organization that you care about, or, you know, drive more kindly on the freeways, or, you know, because then the from that, from the getaway place, you know, we're just sort of left with that which made us get away, you know. but therein what lies, staying with, therein lies the possibility of life, you know.
Yeah.
And the possibility of life dropping in, whatever may be there to do or to, but it's the only in that place of being with where we can be open for that, it seems.
Yes, only in that place of being with can we be open to actually making a contribution from that. You know, what would it be like to make a contribution from that place of love,
mm-hmm.
from that place of suffering with, rather than coming from either getting away or reacting out of that initial, you know, anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a different place to come from, see that there's a possibility for action from.
Yes, and as you're reflecting that, I'm just seeing. And there is no will or control in that what next kind of thing. There's none of that, because that would just be then ego circling back from, okay, she didn't get away, so now let's come over here and try to get, you know, maneuver and manipulate what happens next. Yeah, so it's not a will or control thing. It's more of an actual just the unfolding of life. I mean, because I keep remembering this image of some of the darkest times of, you know, the dark night of the soul times here, you know, that I've been when I first moved here, the first few years anyway, and just the whole system shaking like Rhea, you know, just the whole system, everything, the emotions, the body was, you know, it was everything, and many episodes of those kinds of times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the guidance would always be something along the lines of, yep, yeah, that's what happens. You're doing it. That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, and not at all as frantic as what was going on in my mind. Like, can you see what's happening here? You know, but it was always just a calm, yeah,
uh-huh.
Keep going. That's it. And so that was, to me, was the staying, you know, then, oh, because boy, is ego always trying to get me out, you know, out of here, out of the moment, out of everything, out of my body, you know, even if it just means, okay, well, she's not cooperating, she must die, you know, like it eventually gets to that, you know, but we stay. And then the next moment just unfolds, and it really truly is the cause for tears of great joy, because, you know, all, I don't know, the willingness or the grace or the whatever to just stay when the whole system feels like it's getting dismantled, the ground is just crumbling right under our feet, you know. And our bodies, and so to me, that's where I'm just so struck by the brilliance of that blog and the Conscious Compassionate Action, because to me it just lays out the whole beautiful process of waking up in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, just even that phrase, the whole beautiful process of waking up in the world,
mm-hmm.
and how that blog just. It comes, you know, lays that process out of just staying, to see what wants to unfold in the next moment.
Yes.
Instead of that, you know, running away with conditioned mind to get away from whatever it might be uncomfortable, but to stay through the shaking, through the something must be terribly wrong here, but to stay and wait for the next step.
And just how lucky we are to see that process, because without a view of a view into that whole process, you know, I can just so see that I would be out trying to change the externals again, you know, very futilely in, you know, right now, in whatever setting is there. Whether, I mean, it doesn't even matter if it's the world and what's going on the political stage, or it's in my family, or if it's in my life, or my eating, or my, you know, the way I comb my hair. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's like the externals are always, there's always going to be something to change from that ego place, you know,
yes,
in that process. But to see that process of stay, sink in, yeah, be with, yeah, unfold with, you know, that one, it's just, I don't know, the words fail me, but it's just a miraculous way to live as a human being.
Stay, be with, sink into. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a miraculous way to live. Thanks for practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the modeling of that, as you know, as you point in the blog, and also the modeling of that when you described a period of coming to the monastery and going through that, you know, something's got to be wrong, mm-hmm, something's got to be, you know, and just hearing that, nope,
yeah,
that's the way it is,
yeah,
just keep going.
And there's more and more to come.
And more to come.
It always,
yeah,
is, and that's what we want,
yeah,
you know.
Just saying that is such a core training component to have the support to sit through things,
mm-hmm,
because and it reminds me of what I heard about Enneagram Type 2 is just that constant, like, they're so susceptible to addictions,
mm-hmm,
because it's, I mean, it's just for everybody, but there's that sensation, and yet, and there's that just quick to the conditioned behavior to get out of there,
mm-hmm,
to something else,
mm-hmm,
to get away from, and that's my experience through time, and I just was seeing how life has set up so many really wonderful times where the system is just going nuts. Like, I remember one example was, there was this place where I was being trained to do the concierge, and there's just some little process going with certain things that I'll get really focused, and I'm taking in a lot of information and a lot of details, and it gets a little bit taken over into I think I've got this laid out just so perfect, so that the temperature will be this, and everyone will have this experience, and it'll just be, and then, you know, I get information that wasn't the direction we were headed. And I would seem to get it, like, right before I'd go into a sit. And there would be all this, like, just crazy, just movement in the body of, like, I did something wrong. I'm out of control. I can't fulfill this thing that seems really important. And I would, you know, it was clear that I wasn't going to get up out of meditation, like, with, you know, the support of everyone being in here. So it seemed like there was only, I mean, I suppose you could sit in meditation, I mean, I know you can sit in meditation and think about something else, but it just seemed so obvious in those places that it was just to sit through it.
Wow.
And those experiences have served me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a continual process, because I can feel what I've been watching lately is this sense of, like, groundlessness, or what I think the identity is used to is some sort of wall, some sort of handle, something to grab onto, and it feeling like it's not there, like reaching, almost like falling, and so then it's a retreating back to the conditioned ways of being. Okay, you know, like, I'm me again.
Yeah, I'm me again. I'm back to that comfortable place, you know, and just appreciating the training, how it's set up, and then, you know, all of the planning, all of the, I got this down, you know, and then to find out, well, maybe not. and to get that information, you know, as you're going into the sit, and then, you know, and see, well, there might be an option of sit for the whole sit and try to figure this thing out. But, you know, there's also that option of just sitting with it.
Yeah.
And
seeing that we're completely equal,
yeah,
to that quote thing that it's, I mean, it's interesting to go through it because it's not, it doesn't prove true at all that I can't stand it.
It never proves true that you can't.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
You know, and I have many times.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's so fascinating. Isn't that mistaken identity?
It is.
It's like it's never what it seems. But it, I mean, the ego, every time you don't sit through that and you go to what it says, it solidifies itself.
Absolutely.
And I think Sherry talked about it, that's the life force being sucked out. It feels like we can feel like relief.
Yeah.
But if you really check in, the energy just dropped off.
Wow.
It can, I'm relaxing, or my life force is being sucked out.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
Ego is solidified again, the little imaginary boundaries
mm-hmm.
and the little box that I, quote, I feel comfortable in
mm-hmm.
is reestablished.
Mm-hmm.
But if you check in, you can feel, I can feel the smallness that I've just, it's familiar because I've lived a lot of my life there, but it's not expansive.
yeah, but that smallness, one might say feels, you know, comfortable immediately,
mm-hmm.
you know, just but to really stick with it and to realize what's happening and that relief is that the life force is getting sucked down by conditioning. And to just have that other option of over and over again. You know, if the conditioned mind would say you can't stand this over and over.
Yeah.
And without practice, without the training, you know, there's a habitual, oh yeah, I can't stand it, and do something to, you know, relieve the tension and get the life force sucked out. But in this environment, to see over and over and over again that can be stood. What was said can't be stood.
Yeah, gosh. I just need to make that recording again because that example that I gave, that was just so clear. It was super intense,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a place of sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's happening. It's like, how is it all being decided that I'm doing this and this and this? Where it seems like there's an infinite amount of things that could be done as I'm going about my day, even though there's even within the schedule,
mm-hmm.
you know, what I choose to eat
mm-hmm.
and how I choose to go about this task
mm-hmm.
and how I respond to this or that. It seems like there's a, so how is it happening that it's going this way? And it's like there's the life guiding and then there's almost like the ego hemming in. Keeping me in a little something
uh-huh.
that supports it.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, to looking at those places where there's that feeling that gets interpreted as like, whoa, or, oh, that's a little unstable, okay, whew, okay, to catch those,
uh-huh.
I don't know, it'd just be interesting. I'm seeing it, but I'm not. It's almost like in retrospect, you know. Not. It's harder to see it as it's happening, and then make the. But I guess I'm familiar with that process too. You kind of the awareness gives you the information about how that happened, which sort of eventually can inform you, maybe even right before or as it's happening. But it's all, gosh, I just saw the whole thing. It's always a training process.
It's always a training process.
Yeah, we just have to submit to it. Like, we just have to say yes to it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to, like, figure out the training process.
Figure out the training process.
Or make it up, even.
Exactly, or make it up. And that curiosity about how is this happening? You know, how are these decisions getting made? You know, there's life unfolding, and then there's, you know, the visual buttons are great, but, you know, then there's conditioned mind hemming in.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, like, it's like a narrow corridor.
A narrow corridor. Yeah.
But I can feel the walls. It's right in our
yeah.
plane.
Phew. Yeah.
I know what I am. Here's the boundary.
Right. And when there's when the walls aren't there, there's that grasping or, you know, whoa.
Like trying to put your hand against the wall and it's not there and you'll just fall over.
You know, fall over. And then
as if that's a problem.
And that's a problem. You know, the ego, that's a problem. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what training does here. It's just like the whole idea of what we're going for and what security is
mm-hmm.
has nothing to do with us.
It has nothing to do with us.
You know, it's like I'm in this property management role, and one of the things I do is assist the person who does a lot of work on the property, and, you know, get the project in order. And I'm constantly planning it out because in the morning we talk, and then here's the plan for the day. But I'm also going to guidance for how that goes. And my process is, okay, I know, I've seen it, I've got all the things laid out, I've got them written out, I've got what goes together, I know the sequence that's best so that it's most efficient, so we're not, you know, using resources where we don't da 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 da. And then the guidance will be, well, we'll see. And it's like, what? No. No. You can't just say, we'll see. I mean, we're paying and doing this kind of thing. And what it's just doing is highlighting the process that I live in.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, sure. I mean, we have to learn the pivots. But you have to have da-da, don't you? I mean, it has to be like this, right? And there's just been so many times I've made a plan, and then it's like, you know, the person gets sick, or it dumps rain, or just something where it was so clear that, okay, you can as much as you want, and have the perfect sequence, kind of similar to, I mean, have the hall perfect.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that's how it's going to go. Uh-huh. And you just want, it's a similar process of like, know that this is how I understand how the world is organized, and I don't even understand what you're talking about. Like, that doesn't make it, That's in your conditioned mind.
Exactly. Thank you. And yeah. Conditioned mind is going, what? But this is how we figured out this way.
Yeah.
And the guidance as well, we'll see.
Yeah,
you know?
And so then there's that tensing up and that resistance, and then there's a kind of similar, actually, the sitting down in meditation. Well, it just seems like the only thing to do is just sit through this and be here,
mm-hmm.
because what I'm getting is I don't have control. The way that I want to do it isn't going to work. So with my last option, return to life, see how this will be worked out, and allow the training to happen, because that's what's going on again.
Uh-huh.
And I don't exactly know how that goes or where I'm going, but apparently first the process that I'm in needs to be revealed,
uh-huh.
and that needs to be worn away, and then I need to be willing to be something available to something else.
Yeah.
And then I think that ends up leading towards, well, where is the guidance coming from? How do I get to where the guidance is coming from? But there's a whole little bunch of transitions to that place. It seems like
yeah.
I just was good to talk out loud.
It is good, and yeah. And there's that word willing.
Yeah.
You know, to just be there with all of the transitions and watching it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the key piece.
You know?
I think what was being said before. It just seems like you have the awareness, and that untangles it all.
We don't need to have
a plan and get it right and, you know, do these things that were really making me feel good before and, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
that's just more of the same.
And the conditioned mind is sputtering over there, why, I can't understand this, blah, 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 and then there's the willingness to just sit and watch.
Yeah.
Sit and watch it unfold.
Yeah.
And just as you started just saying, seeing that there's this process of being with life, no handhold. And you know, what that's exploring that possibility and being more clear about the other process of the handholds of conditioned mind and the walls of conditioned mind and just getting to see, you know, what you spoke earlier, like, what's the, you know, is it the choice for the quick relief or the choice for the, oh, I know this is what in the long term.
Yeah, it's true. Raymond said that what's best for all.
What's best for all.
Instead of what me needs in this instant. Which is never what's best for all.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem. I love that Jesus said handhold. I'm like, wait, I can't hold hands with life. Or, you know, I can just. And I just, right when you said that, what I saw was it's a constant looking outside of the moment, the experience, the wall, the handhold of something.
Mm-hmm.
And right when I saw that, what I saw was the training is that life is living. Life is animating this person. It comes from, like, I don't know, from the ground through the person, or however you want to look at that. It doesn't come from, I could just see the attention shifts to us knowing something out there, a hand holding, a wall.
Yeah.
But when you let go of that, then it seems like all the attention gets brought just right here. And the animation that's happening, whether my attention's over there or not. And it's like I can just be present to the life.
Uh-huh.
Living.
Uh-huh.
And that's that place of that's so brilliant when all those things don't work. And then all that choice is to come here and be present. But it just seems like that has to happen that way.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, that doesn't work. Okay, fine, I guess I'll be here. Uh-huh. And then you get here and it's like, whoosh.
Yeah, yeah. As you said, I think it's, you know, it's like we need to take the steps to make the map of what it is like to live.
Uh-huh.
Wish. So just having that experience of, you know, this is life right here.
Yeah.
Wish living this person.
Yeah.
The attention wants to go out there.
Yeah.
You know, for that handhold. But, you know, we're mapping. There's that mapping it out. Oh, okay. So go over here. But that doesn't work so well.
Yeah.
You know, just that, you know, this life just living here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that map, that I'm not writing the map,
uh-huh.
if the map is being revealed, and that the map can kind of shift and change too.
Uh-huh.
I just imagine it gets revealed, but then maybe it kind of shifts over here, and I'm just like aware of.
Just aware.
Yeah.
Just aware. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the whoosh, because the image that came to me was the ocean, and that it's always there,
mm-hmm.
and when I pay attention to it, I get to have this at one experience with it, and that's what happens with myself, you know, I leave,
mm-hmm.
but I always come back, and it's always there,
mm-hmm.
you know, but anyway, my hallway, I love that image, because appropriate is my hallway. Yeah, so right now that would be what the hallway is being built by.
Uh-huh.
Right, so ego is using a lot of, so life, right, like if I'm just here doing, you know, just kind of living, I actually am having a pretty good time, you know, loving a lot of things, you know, when you're, you know, petting the dog or looking at, you know, we just live in one of the most beautiful places in the world, you know, so there we are, just kind of, and then it starts with pictures kind of the past, you know, of the ways an appropriate person my age, with my, you know, and it just starts laying out the story of how, I haven't done it correctly, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that happens as person ages. I'm not sure, but that's kind of what ego starts to use. Flashes of pictures and what I haven't done and the person, you know, was graduating and leaving. So anyway, as I was creating a recording, there was, I like right now the truth recordings, you know, the truth is.
Uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
It often is. I have a life better than like my wild streams, but it will. It seems like the mentor will use right now at least the content. So this might come in and start flashing the appropriate pictures of how much money I should have saved for college education and how much retirement funds and how much, you know. It just starts with those things that it can hook me with right now. For whatever reason, that's the content. And so it seems like recordings like, the truth is I have a really good relationship with Haha, and the truth is I love, you know, the taste of this thing I just made. Or, you know, there just seems to be like a, and I have had some grace. So by making these recordings and listening and getting up out of bed.
Getting
so that was my thing coming down. I was recording and I'm like, one more time I get to see that lying in bed is not helpful. You know, this says, oh, it's so warm and cozy. You know, it's kind of like the sigh of ego versus the relief of a deep breath. But, you know, oh, it's so cozy and I love my bed. You know, but it's, which are true things, except that it's not helpful to stay in bed because right now it's a place. It's never helpful as far as I can tell, but it's a place where I get tortured. Stories start to happen, and what I have done and what I haven't done, and aches and pains that I might see, and how it's really not an old thing, and you know, and what, but what I was recording about was when I was walking down, is that if I just get up and get going, and I can get up and get going, so what it'll do is it'll say, oh, well, you know, just sit up in bed, and you push your pillow underneath you, which, of course, is better than nothing, because that's sometimes, or sometimes there's that moment, I've checked on Rhea, where I'm shaking, and so I start saying the daily recollection, lying down, so that it at least is something that unlocks the, oh, I got to stay in bed, because it's too cold out there.
As I was watching that coming down the road, and as I was listening to people, it's sort of like life is going to reveal it. It's going to. I don't need to think about. You know, the way ego would say is it would take practice and it would say, well, if you recorded more, you'd see that you just need to get up and go. It just uses, you know, spiritual practice. So I've had this grace thing happen around some content. And ego we really do still need to worry about this thing. We've always worried about it. And you can't just relax and trust around it because... you know, it's a real thing. You know, it's a real thing. And you can't really just, this is what ego would say, it's not just enough. It's kind of irresponsible to just come into the moment and... and it is the answer. You know, it is the answer. You know, that's the one benefit of long time practicing over and over and bumbling through. It's over and over and over and over. We get to see that it really is the answer. That just getting here. And it's not that we're going to have some insight necessarily right away about what to do, you know, that action thing. But we will be restored to peace of mind and kindness and serenity and love. I was thinking of the image. So my image was driving to Asilomar with the family over Christmas. So this is like going to kill me if I listen to ego. I'm sitting in the back seat between the two youngest that tend to fight. And the older one is in the front seat and the husband's driving. And I'm sitting there completely identified with the belief that if I sit here, all is going to go well. So I'm holding my breath. You know, I mean, I didn't know enough, you know, being nice. And then at some point, the 18-year-old says, do something, you know, about this arguing that's going on. And if I had been in my, well, at some point I said, I said, if I saw what to do, I would be doing it. But I'm seeing it. Because the things I've tried are not working. But there was a moment of surrender that I was like, I have been believing. That's why I configured the car this way, thank you very much. You know, the plan was this person and this person would chat and get along and be a happy family. We'd be like the Bradys. And we'd all get along back here. Small car. It's not really that far of a drive, but it's but just to see that all I have to do is get here and have lots of compassion for this person who just wants everybody to get along. You know, what either wants to do is then beat me up. We'll see. You know, there's something wrong with you for, you know. But there was so much, you know, it was just grace in letting go and letting them argue and letting everybody do what they did and wait, just wait to see. Is there, and then there was this kind of, there's actually nothing wrong with this. This is a family driving along on a trip. It doesn't look like these pictures say appropriate would look. And that the real setup and the real thing creating the problem was that hallway. Huh, the car ride. Because it changes, you know, life changes. They'd be arguing, and, you know, and then we get it to a certain place, and we do a certain thing, and then ego creeps in. Well, maybe if you just got him something nice to eat, like a real big sugary treat, which of course I did, and then, as you can imagine, it's worse because now they're on steroids. Well, the youngest, you know, shouldn't have sugar. Not much should have sugar. So it's just fun to play. It can become fun rather than what ego does with it, which ego has been trying its best right now. Well, you didn't do this enough, and you didn't do that enough, and you didn't pursue this enough. But you know what? I'm not going to listen.
You're not going to listen, and you're seeing that. It's. I love the image in the beginning of the ocean. It's like there's a beautiful ocean that's always, you know, there, and you can come to it, and in that same way, you're getting that experience of, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what's always been said in practice, you just have to get here.
Yeah.
And to just realize
yeah.
that in that getting here, there's just that acceptance and seeing, you know what, this is everything's okay. This is a family. This is the way the family looks right now at this moment. Not compared to anything, the condition, no, not compared to any standard that the mission mind would want to set up and create misery over, because you can't control to meet its standard. But just, you know, taking a breath and being here and realizing, hey, this is what a family looks like in this moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just, you know, just coming back here and also mm-hmm. having my recorders pick it up and say, you know what, this is what's real.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's real. What's real is what, you know, right here, right now, the taste of this wonderful thing that I just cooked, or the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the these great kids.
Yeah. And the movement, picking up the recorder.
And the movement.
Because it's not that I knew I was going to put that on the recorder.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
just picking it up.
Yes.
It's not that I had the insight. Sometimes I do. But it wasn't, I need to put on the recorder this morning, going down the group. Get up and go. It's that I just need to pick up the recorder, going down the group, and push record.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Uh-huh. And start talking.
I just got to get here. I don't know what the next, I don't know what's going to unfold in the next moment.
Yes.
But I just got to get here. And the recorder is that way, is that tool.
Yeah.
You know?
And when I'm here, everything is as it is.
It is as it is.
That's all. You know?
And as you said, it feels like grace.
It does. Because there is relief in it.
There's relief. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't, you know, it's not that anything has changed. We don't have a different president or a different children, you know, it's all the same and it's all okay. And I actually have kindness and compassion toward all of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
All of it.
Every person.
All of it.
The judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The standards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The rage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Miracle.
Yeah, beauty.
And, you know, ego doesn't like this. Ego really, no, we need a new mom. We need a new this. We need this much money in the bank. And they need to go to school. And they need
not
really.
Not really. Thank you very much. You can go have your miserable life.
Right.
I'm just
wishing it was all different.
Wishing it was all different.
Or we can pray for those in office, and we can love those who are around us. Mm-hmm. And click here first.
Of course. Stay here and not in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.